Hence and grass. Ka eat with the shoe ye, where kashuk are ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakaya ha anikak. Gunish cheese.
From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, August 1st, 2025. It's a first Friday. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, Gunnith Cheesh, Hawa Tuk, Sunusam Salama. Thank you so much for joining the conversation. You can also join us via our live stream on YouTube over at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Instagram and Facebook pages. Conversations coming up this hour. We chat with musicians Scott Burton and Brooke Monroe, who are opening for Peaceful Forest, a taiko-playing family from Japan who will perform early next week here in Juneau. Kate Ross is here for a preview of upcoming events at the City Museum this month, including tonight's First Friday performances. And we begin today with Nimi Phillips, owner of Spice Juno and also organizer of so many different events around town, the Holi Festival, as well as what's coming up, which is Indian Independence Day. Gunnith Cheesh, Ha'igudi, thank you so much, Nimi, for joining us. Wasiuti, how are you today?
Good, thanks for having me.
Of course, welcome back to the show.
I know.
So, Independence Day, Indian Independence Day.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit, before we get into the events itself, about the history of Independence Day, where it started, why it exists, and yeah, all that good
so
stuff.
So we finished 78 years of Indian Independence Day, starting the 79th year from the British government, British Parliament, I should say.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's August 15, 1947 is when India got the independence from the British Parliament. And that's what we're celebrating. So this time we're going to celebrate it at the Elizabeth Paradovich Plaza on the cruise ship dock.
Okay.
At 6 p.m. on Friday.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I know that there is some performances involved. And are we at the point where if people are wanting to, I know we talk about this all the time, if people want to do the dance, the Bollywood dance.
Oh, we've been rehearsing for at least 15 Sundays at this point.
Well, you're rehearsing for that many already?
Yeah, you have to.
Kind of. You got to get in there.
Get in there. You can't forget the steps and, you know, if people are watching. It started off with a very small event for, you know, just, this is still a fun free event for anybody to join in.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's we have 20 dancers, age starting at 20 to 75.
Wow.
All local Junoites, amazing, amazing ladies. And men can join in. But this year, we don't have any men.
Oh, wow.
We did have Diwali.
Where's the men?
I know, where's all the men?
Get out there, men.
We had dancers in Diwali, usually during Diwali. We also had it in Holi last year, like four guys. I don't know where they went.
So I know you rehearse. You're rehearsing on Sunday. So if somebody, obviously maybe they're not going to be able to partake in this particular one, they go and watch though.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're interested in getting involved for future ones, do they just reach out to you?
Reach out to Spice, us, myself, anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, on the website. We have info@spicejuno.com or come to JDT, Juno Dance Theater, next to the airport. That's where we rehearse every Sunday. It's 6 to 8.
6 to 8, okay.
And then this Sunday we have a rehearsal, and the next Sunday is a dress rehearsal. So we get all our costumes together, get our jewelry on, looking all very pretty.
Oh, get some pictures and stuff.
Get some pictures, get our end poses, begin poses, all that stuff.
Okay.
And that also helps to see, you know, if two colors are standing by together, separate them out kind of thing. It's just to make it look all
uniformed. Figure out what it's gonna look like.
Yeah.
So this is happening on August 15th.
Yes, August 15th, Friday at 6 p.m.
At 6 p.m. at Elizabeth Paratrich Plaza.
On the cruise ship dock.
Okay.
And that's between the Pier 49 and the library parking lot.
Yeah,
so that's
absolutely.
Where that big
right.
space.
Yeah.
And then we are starting with the national anthem, Indian national anthem.
Okay.
We hold the flags and in our hand
cool.
and sing the national anthem. And we, you know, this will be a good celebration for all the Indians in town who's running the businesses and also coming on cruise ships too. So this year we're doing something a little different than we did last year.
Okay.
This year, one of the dances, music is six different languages of Indian languages put together into one song. Instead of all being Hindi or all being Malayalam, or there's 26 languages. I'm only using six of them. That's all we can do. But it's one song. It's all six different major languages that's spoken yeah. more, you know, often. And people who come here, I think people really appreciate that.
Oh, that's really cool. Maybe every year you add one more line from a different
language or something.
Yeah.
I want people to feel welcome yeah. and, you know, feel like home. I know last year we touched a lot of people's heart. They cried and said, we've been in the United States for 40 years and never had a chance to sing the Indian national anthem.
Aww.
And Juno was able to provide it. That's what I like about Juno.
Yeah.
We have such an inviting community, such a great heart. Our Junoites are amazing.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm showing a couple pictures for those who are watching the stream on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. These are pictures from last year.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Taken by Michael Penn.
Michael Penn. He's going to be taking photos again.
And this, I see there's somebody throwing stuff up in the air. And the other photo is, I think, from the middle of the dance. You uh-huh. see a lot of the ladies dancing.
Yeah.
I see Leslie Ishii in there.
Yeah, Leslie was dancing last
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I see a few other folks in there. That's really cool.
So we have the Bollywood dance after the national anthem. Then
okay.
we're going to do a fundraising. We do every event we do a fundraising. This year, we're doing a fundraising for a WEAR shelter.
Okay.
So WEAR shelter wish list is collected in a couple of different places, at the Spice, of course, and the Jack, and also Perseverance Theater, Gold Town Theater. Those are, we all have boxes there. So
okay.
you can drop off the wish list from the WEAR shelter. A website. It's available on the website.
Oh, so if you go to awareak.org, mm-hmm. they have a
wish list
for what they're looking for?
You can
for?
Drop it off to one of our locations.
Okay, give those once again. It was Perseverance.
Perseverance, Spice.
The Jack.
And Gold Town Theater.
So
yes.
if you have something to give off that wish list,
yes.
You can drop that off there. And that's going to all be collected before Indian Independence
yes.
Day?
Yes, August 10th is the last day for collection.
August
We're also
10th.
Collecting cash or check.
Okay.
Made it out to WEAR shelter.
Okay.
And we will have somebody from the WEAR there on the Independence Day to collect all the stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out all these. We have collected so much stuff so far, and
yeah.
thank you, Juno, for that. And
Juno
is very giving,
yeah.
and it's very, very touching. To bring all of that to downtown to the cruise ship dock, that's going to be an interesting couple of trips on the car.
Yeah, that's
sure.
pretty fun.
And then we do the petals, rose petals. We
right.
throw rose petals in the air.
That's the picture. I think one of the pictures
yeah.
I had here was of the rose petal throwing. Tell me, is there a significance around that?
Well, you know, it's just we do something similar in India. And then I was thinking, why not something spreading joy kind of thing?
That's
That's how I look at it. You know, just something fun to do for people are watching us dance. I'm sure they want to join in, but they're nervous to join in. This gives a chance to everybody to participate and do something
yeah,
together.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And you have, because I know during the Holi Festival, you throw the
colors
right?
Oh, so, my God. Yeah.
This time, instead, we throw the petals.
Petals,
right?
yes.
And not at each other, but
no,
in the air.
In the air. And it was beautiful. You made so much amazing photos. And,
yeah.
And it was such a magical moment. And it was a perfect amount of wind in the air. And the petals kind of flew around. It was a very magical day.
Well, hopefully, I know it's too far out probably to be looking at the weather report, but hopefully the weather holds up for you.
I hope so.
I
hope so. Holi was a rainy day.
Yeah.
We proudly danced in the rain. And and the Color Festival actually got more fun because it was raining. It was more sticky and more
nice.
It was a lot more fun with the color. So I'm hoping this time we'll get a cloudy day. It doesn't have to be, I'm not asking for sunshine, just cloud will work.
And this is a national holiday in
yeah.
India, right?
In India.
Obviously. And
yeah.
And these kind of celebrations like you're having the one here in Juneau, kind of like the Holi Festival too, but these happen all over the world.
All
right?
over the world.
Yeah.
All over the world. And they do so many. I think in India this time they're doing a paint on the street. You paint the street and you get a competition or something like that. They do every year, different states, different festivals. But it's so nice to celebrate together and bring some joy to
That's so cool.
And at Spice, we're cooking some amazing food, too. If you're ready for it, I can talk about that.
Okay, go for it.
We're making chicken biryani. Chicken biryani is a chicken curry made separately and rice with the spices separately, and we layer together.
Oh,
it's about a 4.5-hour process.
Whoa.
And it is served with quail eggs farmed in Juneau, Alaska. If anybody needs to get some quail eggs, you can reach out to Spice, and we'll get you information. We have an amazing person who here sells quail eggs to Rainbow Food and different stores here in town.
Oh, cool.
And if you need more than a dozen at a time for a festival or event,
I see.
We can make that happen.
And so that's going to be something that you can go enjoy at Spice before Indian,
before we are open 11 to 9, so you can come in, make a reservation. It's going to be it's a Friday also, so it's going to be a full day.
Yeah.
And then we're going to serve it with a raita, like a yogurt, cucumber yogurt, and a cracker, like a papadum. So that'll be a complete meal, and all the locals going to get 10% off.
Okay. Oh, you just see, that's good, right? Get 10% off.
10% off for locals.
I love that.
Yeah. So I'm hoping to see lots of smiles and happy faces.
Well, Nimi, you do such great work in terms of you know, these festivals that you put on, keeping that culture active here in Juneau, which is really wonderful.
Thank you.
So best of luck on Indian Independence Day. It's two Fridays from now, August 15th, down at the Elizabeth Perachevich Plaza, which is downtown on the dock. And it's going to start at around 6 o'clock, right?
Yes.
There's also the Aware Shelter is collecting items. You can go to awareak.org to find out what that wish list includes, and then drop off at either, let me see if I got this, Perseverance, Spice, the Jack.
And Goldtown.
And Goldtown. So you can drop those items off and in celebration of Indian Independence Day.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I'm honored to have the opportunity to do it in Juneau.
Yeah, it's really great. It's so good
really
to have
great.
It here.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate it. And Amy, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Gonna cheese. Okay, up next, we're going to listen to the latest Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Akwan and beyond. A new mobile crisis team has been operating in Juneau since November, and each team is comprised of a clinician from Bartlett Regional Hospital and an EMT from Capital City Fire Rescue. Members of the team reflected on their role in filling some of the gaps in behavioral health care here in Juneau. The first responders broke down how their unit helps get patients care on their own terms. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
So this is what goes in the crisis bag. We have a resource binder with everything you can imagine, treatment applications, resource lists, different assessment tools is in there. Clean socks for someone who's walking around in wet socks. That's never a healthy thing, so I always keep a stash.
I'm Sarah Zaglifa, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker on the mobile crisis team.
My name is Megan DeSlover, and I am a community health specialist with Capital City Fire and Rescue and an EMT, and I work on the mobile crisis team. I've been working with the fire department since 2018. Just naturally being a part of the mobile integrated health team, I have become a part of the mobile crisis team. We've done a number of trainings to prepare us for this, and so that's how I'm here.
So I got involved in mobile crisis way back in the 90s. Believe it or not, I got my master's degree way back then. I was living in San Francisco and part of the domestic violence task force there, and really immersed into crisis work at that point, and was married to the military. We relocated. We're stationed in Alaska, decided to settle here, and wanted to commit to the community. I was working at Bartlett in the emergency department for 4 years. Then I worked in behavioral health and a little bit in oncology. And then when this program started getting up and running, I really wanted to get back to my crisis roots because it's the best job. Love it.
I learned that we have a huge need in this community for assistance, and that there isn't always money, and there aren't always avenues, and there aren't always people to fill those roles. So I've been really thankful to be a part of this because I feel like our role has been very helpful.
I feel really inspired by Bartlett and other community partners like CCFR being very invested in the safety net of the community and being part of the fiber of that safety net is really important. I think the best part about this position and where I've learned the most is how important it is to meet the patient literally and figuratively where they're at. Your assessment is so much more rich and respectful when you're on their turf and you are their guest versus the natural change in dynamics when you're in an emergency department or in a more clinical setting. I feel really proud of how our team as co-responders can just sit with someone and just be with them and whatever it is they're in, with no agenda, with no pressure.
We don't fix everything for everybody. Certainly that's not even the goal, because it would be impossible, but just people feeling like, oh, I have someone else to reach out to.
I feel like crisis is an invisible illness. Behavioral health is an invisible illness. It's not outward. So a lot of people, I think, can easily hide some of these things and not identify it as a crisis. And we come judgment-free to just see where we can go with what we have. There's plenty of times we go on a call thinking it's about one thing, finding out the root is actually something very different, and we can work on that root. Or maybe the person's not ready to open up to complete strangers, and so we can offer other types of support and then maybe follow up with them. Or now they know us, and when they call, we're not starting from square one.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
In the mountains above Juno's idyllic suburban neighborhoods, a glacial basin fills annually with rain and snowmelt until pressure builds up and it bursts through. As the glacier melts and the basin grows, neighborhoods downstream are newly vulnerable to catastrophic floods. When billions of gallons of icy meltwater exploded out of Juno's Mendenhall Glacier on August 6, 2024, some valley residents didn't know their homes were at risk until water came pouring through their doors in the middle of the night.
From just a couple inches on the floor to about my navel, I would say about a minute and a half.
Hundreds of people in Juno's Mendenhall Valley are living on the front line of a climate change disaster they didn't see coming. This is Outburst, the story of how a freezing cold disaster has escalated faster than human imagination and public policies to protect people. KTOO reporters will take you from the floodwaters to the glacier's edge to uncover why the annual floods happen, how they got out of control, and what can be done to keep Juno safe.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. You can also join us on our live stream at KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. That promo you heard was for Outburst, which is the new podcast coming from the KTOO news team. You can look for that to be dropping next week. Just go to kto.org/outburst or subscribe to the podcast in your podcast catcher of choice. I am Boston Christopher, and in the studio with me now, I have Kate Ross, because it's First Friday, and the City Museum always does things for First Friday, and Kate joins me now for info on tonight's fun special event, and as well as other happenings going down at the museum this month. Gunthchish, ha-yidugi. Well, I can't speak today.
It's Friday. It's
it
okay.
It is Friday, and I was telling you I had a meatball sub for lunch, and I'm very full, very tired. But anyway, wasa-yidugi, how are you today, Kate?
I'm good. It's been sunny. It's been rainy today. It's all over the place. It's First Friday. Let's go. It's August.
Yeah. Which is just insane to think that we're this far into the year.
I don't like to think about it. It's fine.
it's kind of awesome. But okay, so let's start with tonight's performance thing, because I know it's a continuation of this performing arts thing you've been doing. Tell everyone who hasn't heard about it yet what it is and what's happening tonight.
Yeah, so our summer exhibit this year is Wild Joys, Creating Community Through the Performing Arts. So it's all about the history of the performing arts community here in Juneau. We've got all kinds of vintage posters from shows through the decades. We've got some costume pieces, photos, all kinds of stuff from all different genres and aspects of our community performing arts scene here. And so, yeah, we've been doing this series of performance hours on our little stage. We have a little tiny stage.
What's the platform? Is it like four by four or something?
It's a little bigger than that. I think it's 8 feet. It's a semicircle. It's an 8 foot diameter. It's small.
Would I look like Godzilla crushing a town
if I
was on that
stage? If it was just you, you'd be great. I think if we tried to fit anyone else up there with you, it might get a little cramped. So it's been really fun. We've had it's every first Friday. We have performances from about 4:30 to 5:30, and then we're doing some Thursday noon lunch hours roughly every other week through the summer as well. So we've had a lot of music, we've had some dance, we've had a little bit of theater, we've had a lot of fun stuff, and we have more fun things coming up tonight.
Yeah.
There's actually four different people, groups, genres, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
Tonight we're free from 4 to 6 tonight for First Friday.
Okay.
And the performances will be happening between about 4:30 and 5:30. So we have a woodwind quintet. We have performance art by Tim Sislow, otherwise known as Spruce. We have some Appalachian bluegrass folk. We have an interactive dance performance of some kind. We have all kinds of fun stuff.
That's cool, because performing arts just doesn't mean, you know, like monologues or theater. It could be anything that's up on its feet, really, right?
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Cool.
So you'll have to come by and check it out. So yeah, we're really excited. This is a great little snapshot right here of, you know, kind of four different disciplines. Two are music, but they're very, very different types of music, classical versus folk. So we're excited. This whole summer, we've had a whole wide, wide range of people signing up. We still have room for people to sign up as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So how do we sign up?
So you can find out more information and sign up through our website.
Okay.
We have a whole little page with information about it and just a sign up form too.
Okay. Juneau.org/museum.
Yeah, you can fill out the form and just sign up. We have space on our upcoming Thursdays. So let's see which ones are those. August 14th, August 28th. And September 18th.
Okay,
those are our last three Thursday noon lunch hour performances.
I see. Okay, that's cool. Well, that's not the only thing going on at the museum, though.
It never is.
No. So what else do we got?
So that's the big thing with our exhibit. Because it's the summer, we still have our walking tours happening. We have free Capitol tours weekdays in the afternoon. We've got historic downtown Juneau Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And we only have tomorrow, we have a Death and Douglas tour sold out.
Of course it is.
It's too late. It's Ed and Betsy. You can't. It's sold out. But they do have another one. It's a Capitol Killers one in September. So if you're interested in any of that true crime stuff, check that out for September. But the August ones we have left, we have an Evergreen Cemetery tour on August 16th, a Downtown Geology tour on August 23rd.
Okay.
So we're getting to the end of the specialty tours. So if you have people coming into town, these are a really fun way to get kind of a more in-depth, more interesting look at certain parts of our history and the area we live.
Yeah, this one that looks cool to me, the Downtown Geology Tour.
Yeah.
Where you learn about the local geology. It's about a mile and a half.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and that's Dr. Kathy Connor and Richard Carstensen, which some people may be familiar with their names, but they're just well-known Juneau geologist and naturalist. That one's really cool, just looking at the area around downtown and, you know, how was it built and what are we on?
Because, you know, you walk around and you don't think about that stuff every day, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't open your eyes to it. You're just walking through it.
Exactly.
But if you walk through it with intention, to learn a little bit about the space you're in.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that idea of doing it with intention. And I like having a little bit of different context too, right? It's the idea of just shifting the way that you think about things, like brushing your teeth with your left hand instead of your right hand.
Right.
It can help build new pathways in your brain. So, you know, walk around downtown and learn about the rock that this building is on instead of just walking past it on your way to work.
I don't think I've ever brushed my teeth with my left hand.
Oh, I tried it once. It was very difficult.
Because it would feel, it's just not how you do it.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, if you're right-handed like I am.
But it's supposed to be really good for you. Take a different route to work, like driving or walking.
I do that all the time.
See?
Yeah,
these are good things.
I do that all the time. I like to take what I call the scenic route.
Yeah, it's
just
good.
Go off the beaten path, go different ways.
So so you won't get off the beaten path with any one of these number of our walking tours.
Okay, now you also have the announcement of the artist exhibition opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that. This is for those who are interested in having a show at the museum.
Yeah, exactly. So we are now accepting applications for the 2026-27 season. So not this winter, next winter. So don't stress out and feel like, oh my God, it's about to be fall and winter and how could I put this together? You don't have to. You just have to put together your application because it's for next winter.
Okay.
And so we have a number of months in the winter that we do these solo artist shows in our main gallery. And more information about that can be found on our website as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can find applications on our website, but we can also email you an application or you can pick one up from the museum if you're someone who prefers to not do things so online.
Right. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And have you announced this season's artists for this coming season already? Or is that coming soon?
That should be coming soon. Okay. They're all set. We're all, you know, we have them all on the calendar. We have a really, really fun season coming up. We will announce that a little closer to the end of the summer.
Okay. Once we get through all the summer
activity. Once we get through all the summer, the summer stuff, because the summer exhibition will be up through the middle of October.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
Our solo artist season starts in November.
Okay, great. We'll look forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, there's this thing, harnessing of the Adam Totem Pole Conservation Project?
Yes.
What's this all about?
Yes. So this is a rather large project.
Yeah.
That we recently found out, once we started it, maybe rather larger than we had anticipated.
That can be the case.
The harnessing of the Adam Totem Pole is one that was carved by Amos Wallace. A lot of people know Brian Wallace. This is his dad was the carver.
Okay.
And it has been outside the City Museum for a long, long time.
Hmm.
About 20 years ago, there was a little bit of conservation work done on it. But we now have come to the point where we need to do further conservation work because the intention of the original donors of this pole, the intention of Amos was that this pole would be part of the museum collection and as such would be preserved and had conservation work done on it for future generations as opposed to the kind of traditional cultural practice of letting totem poles live their life. And go back to the forest.
Mm-hmm.
So last Wednesday, July 23rd, the totem pole was moved. AELMP very generously donated some equipment and workers to help take a giant crane and pick the totem pole up and move it over to our front lawn. And we have Ray Watkins, who actually studied with Amos Wallace, who is doing conservation work on it. So the totem pole is under tent. It is on our front lawn. Anyone can come by and see it anytime. Ray's out there pretty frequently working on it, doing a lot of cleaning and other types of work. And we're in the middle of a lot of big conversations right now with some conservators and carvers and with Brian Wallace and with all of our museum staff, of course, about the future of the pole and what we're going to
And this is the pole that was like right on the corner. It's basically what you see right when you come up to the museum, right?
It
was right
it's actually the one that's around the side.
Okay.
It's the little bit shorter one.
Okay.
Yeah, the one that is on the like front on the capital side corner is Sawan and the First Halibut Hook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And we actually have some really, really nice new informational placards outside that have a lot more information about the totem poles. Those were put up earlier this year.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's a really big project with the with this totem pole. Essentially, it was brought down, and the extent of some of the damage that had been done over the years, just from kind of normal Southeast Alaska weather, the damage was to a farther extent than we had anticipated. And so we're in conversations about what to do with it. Mm. And it's likely at this point that it may be moved inside instead of remaining outside. Mm. But yeah, it's pretty fascinating to see up close. I highly recommend anyone come by, check it out. Ray is a very nice guy. Ask him questions.
Yeah. So he's working on it.
He's working on it. Yeah. He's actively working on cleaning and doing all sorts of other cool things to kind of stabilize the wood and treat the wood. And,
oh, that's cool. Yeah. I'm talking with Kate Ross from the City Museum about all the things going on. Remind us once again, Kate, about First Friday and what's happening tonight.
Yeah, tonight. Tonight is First Friday. It's literally First Friday because it's August 1st. Yeah. Wild. That doesn't happen all that often.
Right.
So at the City Museum up on 4th and Main, we are free from 4 to 6 p.m. And from 4:30 to 5:30, we have free performances happening. And we have some music, dance, performance art. It's going to be a lot of fun, so come check it out.
Come check it out at the City Museum. And for all the information and details on what's going on at the City Museum, you can go to juno.org/museum. Very easy website. You guys keep it pretty updated in terms of what's going on down there. And if you haven't been to one of those performances, go check it out. Sounds really fun.
And sign up if you're a performer and you think, hey, maybe I want a low-key, no judgment, low stress, easy way to do it. You could do 5 or 10 minutes. You don't have to have a whole hour.
Yeah, but what do they call that in the comic world? You got to have a tight
five. Oh, a tight five. You got to have a tight five. That's all you need.
Your tight five. All right, Kate, thank you so much. We'll see you next month. I'm going to cheese for coming in.
Going to cheese.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Mike Lane. Today is Friday, August 1st. And on this day in 1896, there was something called the bicycle craze, and it was reported that it had reached Juneau. It was said that several local women might be seen daily riding their bicycles, which was most likely to be the Overman Victor Flyer, the popular safety bicycle during the 1890s. Well, that bicycle craze is still alive today. That's a look back at this day in 1896.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
Support comes from Nugget Alaskan Outfitter, with outdoor clothing, gear, and footwear for the whole family. Now carrying women's workwear from Dovetail and Aloe Yoga Pants. Located in the Mendenhall Mall and online at nuggetoutfitter.com.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. I am your host, Boston Christopher. Now, this coming Monday and Tuesday, August 4th and 5th, Peaceful Forest, a taiko-playing family from Japan, will perform here in Juneau as part of their quest to play 1,000 taiko performances in all 50 states. We were just listening to a little bit of the style of taiko drumming from the London Taiko Drummers. This family group is led by celebrated musician Takumi Kato, and the group hasn't landed in Juneau yet, but our guests, Brooke Monroe and Scott Burton, are friends of the band and will be opening for them on Monday with their own signature bluegrass-inspired country and folk music. And you all have a fun name for bat. We'll get to that in just a second. But anyway, Gunath Chishad, Yeah, Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both in the studio today. Wasiati Scott, how are you?
Good to see you, Boston. Thanks you so much for having us here.
Of course. And Brooke Wasiati, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Awesome. It's so good. Yeah. And people might see in the background of the stream, you see a bass behind Brooke, and they're going to do some music for us. So I mentioned this name of the band. It's Brooke Monroe and her boy toy. What is it called?
And her folk toy.
Folk toy. Okay. Or
there's sometimes other names to it. But yeah.
That's so fun. And so tell me a little bit about the kind of music that you do. Now, I remember, I think one of the first times I moved to Juneau, when I first moved to Juneau, you all were performing on the regular. Mm. You guys had a band, like a bluegrass band, and I would see you down at the Alaskan. But that band is no longer. Is that correct?
I think it's taking care of bluegrass. You know, some of those members are still playing a lot and they sound great. But yeah, we are not in that bluegrass band. We were Bluegrass 101 for a little while, and then we changed to the Great Alaska Bluegrass Band.
Yes, that's what I remember.
A lot of fun for a lot of years.
Yeah. And
now we're in bed by 10, Boston, instead of starting gigs at 10.
Yeah, that's right. I'm the same way. I used to be a performer. I like the afternoon slot.
Yes.
Right. Get to
early,
go home.
The early evening.
Yeah, that's right. It's so much better. But this performance opportunity on Monday is pretty awesome. But can you tell us a little bit about, did I say his name right, Takumi Kato?
I might say Kato.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, they are friends of ours. Brooke and I actually met in Japan back in 1998.
You guys met in Japan?
Yeah.
We were both teachers. That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And we lived there for a couple of years, and it was a very formative, wonderful time of our lives. And we had friends over there. One of those great friends emailed us, and they're friends with the Katos.
Okay.
And they said, hey, you got to meet these people. They want to play and all, the, you know, they want to play taiko drumming in Alaska.
Yeah.
Can you help them?
Okay.
And we're like, yeah, of course. We've been emailing and communicating quite a bit with the family. And so we have not met them yet, but they're going to be staying with us and then we're going to help them with these gigs. And yeah, just really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and it's a family, right? And Takumi's the dad.
That's right.
The father. And he's a celebrated, internationally known musician in all kinds of ways. But like, and then what I love about this story is that he's taking his family, his children, on this tour in this style of music that he loves and that they love, and they're going to go around and see the world. That's just, I don't know. That seems, it's also very fitting that they're doing that here in Juneau, right? Mm. It just seems like Juneau's such a strong bonded community, and this kind of thing for him to do and to do it with his family, I don't know. It just warms my heart.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just kind of amazing. So this great that you're going to be hosting them. So tell me, so we can get this out of the way, the who's and the what's, like the performances and where they are and what time and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so they're going to start with a performance out at the Riverside Senior Center on Wednesday afternoon, but I'm sure the public could come, but I think that's more of like for the residents there.
You said Wednesday. Do you mean?
I meant Monday.
Monday.
Monday. Okay. They get in on the ferry at like 4:30 in the morning on Monday morning.
Oh, wow. And they're going to go right to work.
They're going to go right to work.
Wow.
They're going to be in Ketchikan coming up on the ferry. So just, you know.
So they're not only performing in Juneau, they're performing around different places in Alaska.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to figure out what to make them for breakfast on Monday when they get in. Do you make Japanese breakfast? Or American breakfast.
Right, right.
Yeah.
All right. And so, but then the one we really want to invite all these great listeners to is on Monday night from 6 to 8. Mm-hmm. We'll be up at the Holy Trinity Church. So that's August 4th, right? This coming Monday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we'll be up at Holy Trinity, which is a place that I think we've maybe played there a little bit in the past, but it's been a long time. Mm-hmm. It's a really neat space to play music. So Brooke and I are going to play a few tunes to sort of welcome them and then turn it over to them for their performance. And we really hope that we can give them a big Juneau welcome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even on a Monday night. Mm-hmm. How can we talk people into coming out on a Monday, Boston?
Well, one of the things is that you mentioned this, or this is in some of the notes I saw, is that their performance isn't that long, right, which is one thing. Mm-hmm. So you guys are going to play a couple songs. Mm-hmm. Their show is going to be 30 to 40 minutes, whatever it is.
Right.
So it's not like you're spending a Monday night all the way to like 10 p.m.
No.
Something like. You're going to still be at home and in bed at a reasonable hour.
I bet you'll be home by 7:30.
Yes. Okay. The over-under is 7:30 if you're a betting man. So that's really wonderful. And then Tuesday, if you miss Monday, they're also going to be doing something on Tuesday, right?
Yeah, they're going to be playing at the SHI Arts Plaza.
Oh, they're going to be outside?
Outside at 5 o'clock.
Oh, man, that's so cool. Yeah, a little outdoor concert on the SHI Arts Plaza on Tuesday afternoon at 5. But if people want to see you, they got to go to Monday's show.
That's right.
Correct, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Monday.
And both events are free.
Yes, free is good.
Yes, and if you want to donate, then, of course, those would go to the family just to help with some other travel costs. But
yeah, I'm sure it's not cheap to be trying to travel to all 50 states.
Yeah.
And I know that this journey isn't happening now. It's been something they've been doing since October of 2022, and they've already been to 36 states. So Alaska's getting to be rounding out the goal, which is really kind of cool. And I can imagine like the children, especially like what they've seen and the experiences that they've had, because it feels like the way they're doing it is not just showing up, playing and leaving. You know, like a lot of concerts or musician bands, that's what happens, right? You go into a city, you play, and then you hop on the next thing to get to the next gig. Yeah. Well, this, it seems like they're taking their time. They're traveling around Alaska. They're spending a couple days here, so they'll get to see some of the sites, meet more of the people, meet more of the community, which is really kind of cool.
Yeah, and they even emailed me. I said, okay, so right now you have Tuesday afternoon off, so you're playing three gigs, but you have Tuesday afternoon off. You want to go sightseeing? They're like, oh, we want to play another gig if possible. Yes, they're hard workers. And so if anybody has any ideas for Tuesday day,
okay,
at 5 p.m. on Tuesday, they'll be at the Arts Plaza, SHI Arts Plaza. But before that, if you have any ideas, find me on Facebook.
I guess if they're doing the are they doing the Pioneer Home or the Riverside?
No, the Riverside.
Riverside, okay.
Yeah.
So maybe Pioneer Home.
Maybe. Yeah, bring it closer to town.
Or go out to the glacier and play drums at the glacier so they can sightsee and... Also, visitors.
That would be a really cool idea.
I don't know.
That makes for some great great photo ops too.
Nobody's working there.
That's right.
Who can enforce that?
Yeah, nobody can stop you. That's so funny. So here's another thing, Scott, maybe or Brooke, even what is taiko drumming? We heard it, but can you describe a little bit about it? Do you know enough about it to say something on it?
A little bit.
Okay.
When we lived in Japan for 2 years, we were in the northern part of Honshu in Aomori-ken, and they had parades with drumming as well. And so I participated in being in one of the parade floats of drumming. And these, oh my gosh, do you remember how big those drums were? They must have been
bigger than this table.
Yeah.
Huge drums. And like you could have four people across drumming on them. But what is the history? I have not read up on my taiko drumming.
Right.
But it just has like like most drums do, like it just hits your heart and you're just pounding with that beautiful music. And percussion, you know, like just that change up of the percussion to big, long, drawn out drums to really fast. Yeah.
And sometimes in some of the music I've heard, I remember seeing way back in Anchorage someday, there was the traveling group that had those giant, the giant drums, which was, I mean, it was so like your whole body just shakes, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know, sometimes they're singing a little bit to it too. So it reminds me a little bit of sort of like what we see in our Thlinkit performances where there's a drum and then there's some song and, you know, and that how it's just, it's a very traditional instrument to this taiko drumming, the drums and things like that, right?
Yeah, and I think that they've sort of made it their own as well. So there's some elements of traditional taiko, and like you said, Takumi is like, he's played for the Emperor of Japan and the Prime Minister. He was the world champion back in 2008, like real deal, full on taiko. So he's got that. But I think with the family, he can, they can also do some more nuanced work. And, you know, they have this idea to spread this message of peace. And there's even, wait for it, there's a dragon involved.
All right.
Yes, there's a dragon involved that, as far as we can tell.
Cool.
We'll come out.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's the name of the group, right? Peaceful Forest, right? So they're traveling around, spreading this message of peace, which never more important than in this time and age of time. And so really looking forward to these performances on Monday at Holy Trinity Church at 6 p.m. Scott says you'll be done by 7:30. And then also at 5 p.m. on Tuesday at the SHI Arts Plaza downtown, if you can't make it to Monday. If you want to make it to Monday, though, you get to see Scott and Brooke perform. And if you can't even do that, they're going to perform for us on the show right now. So let's get you guys set up. And we'll get some music in. Is there any, unless we missed anything, is there other details we need to mention?
No, I think we got it all.
Okay. Yeah. And you're going to be playing a little bit of this bluegrass. It's Brooke and her folk toy. So why don't you guys go step up there, get onto the microphone, and I'll give these details one more time as you get set up. I'll also bring up our mixer so we can hear you all up there.
All right.
Let's see. Let me go to here. And here. Okay. So that is, it's going to be Peaceful Forest. Again, they're going to be playing Monday evening at 6 p.m. at Holy Trinity Church. And then also on Tuesday at 5 p.m. at the SHR Arts Plaza. And Scott, do you remember or do you have offhand, I know you can search Peaceful Forest in your favorite search engine and find the stuff, but is there a particular website?
Yeah, I would just Google Peaceful Forest.
Yeah, Peaceful Forest, yeah.
And Takumi Kato.
Yeah, Takumi Kato, which is K-A-T-O.
I think they're also on Instagram quite a bit, so you can find them there.
Okay, great. And I'll post those links on the post for this page today. So this is Brooke and her folk toy live on the red carpet stage here on Juno Afternoon on First Friday. Here we go. Take it away.
Here's the one we learned from the singing of Jerry Garcia and David Grisman, but I think it's a Clarence Ashley tune from like 1920s. It's called Walkin' Boss.
messenger. And he said, son, what can you do? I can line up track. I can line the track. And I can pull a jack. And I can pick and shovel too. Walking boss, walking boss, hear the boss, but I don't belong to you. I belong, and I can get along with that steel driving crew. Then I lay around the shanty too, walking boss, walking boss, hear the boss, but I don't belong to you. I belong, and I can get along with that steel driving crew, with that steel driving crew.
This is a good way to go into the weekend right here is what I'm talking about. What was the name of that again?
It's called Walkin' Boss.
Walkin' Boss. Yeah, that's really good. And so we have time. Can we get one more tune? That'd be so good. Yeah. A great way to get into our Friday. First Friday, get yourselves out there downtown, all the wonderful events that are going on. And then don't forget to check out Peaceful Forest on Monday at Holy Trinity Church at 6 p.m. Takumi Kato and his family will be performing, and Brooke and her folk toy, Scott Burton, will be opening for them on Monday. And they're going to give us one more tune here as we go out here on Juno Afternoon. Take it away.
In spite of ourselves.
Now she don't like her eggs all runny. She thinks crossing her legs is funny. She looks down her nose at money, and she gets it on like the Easter Bunny. She's my honey, I'm her baby, I'm never gonna let her go. Big door prize. We're gonna spite our noses right off of our faces. Won't be nothing but big old hearts dancing in our eyes. She likes ketchup on her scrambled eggs, and she swears like a sailor when she shaves her legs. She takes a licking and keeps on ticking. I'm never gonna let her go.
Sly as a fox and crazy as a loon. The payday comes and he's a
hearts dancing in our eyes.
That's what I'm talking about. Brooke Monroe, Scott Burton, thank you so much. Gunathcheesh, for being here once again. It's Peaceful Forest on Monday at 6 p.m. at Holy Trinity Church. Brooke and Scott will be opening for them, as well as on Tuesday they will be performing Peaceful Forest by themselves. We'll be performing on the Plaza, SHI Plaza downtown at 5 p.m. And of course you can Google Peaceful Forest in your favorite search engine and you can find out more about Takumi Kato, he's such a fabulous drummer, and I'm really excited for them coming to town. So again, thanks for doing a couple tunes.
Thank you
so much. And that's going to do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. You can find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. You can also find the live stream archives at KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juno Afternoon comes from listeners and viewers like you, never more important than now, and Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunathcheesh, have a wonderful weekend, everyone.